Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Gibson, I guess the first question I want to ask you, my friend, is you will be running for the Congress. You're immensely popular with so many people. But one of the things that they say to me is, how can I vote for him if I don't like his leaders? What's the answer to that one?
Well, you know, what I tell you is that the thing that we need most of all in Washington, D.C. are thoughtful leaders who put service first. We're going to have a dynamic in the country. I expect that, you know, there is going to be divided government. I think that's going to be the outcome of the 2014 election. What's important for all leaders to take away from that is the American people, they want divided government, that they don't want dysfunctional government. And, you know, coming on the last couple weeks of 2013, I think it was important that we come together and reach a framework, a budget framework that lays out revenues and expenditures for 2 years now. And I think that was very important. In terms of right here in upstate New York, we have, I've been asked this question many times. Sure. And what I say is, look, the best, in my view, and granted, I've only been doing this for 3 years, but I think the best reelection strategy is service. Service first. So that means both in my constituent work and my legislative work, our constituent work, we put our budget, every member of Congress gets a budget. We put our budget up against service. You know, some members send out mailers, send out all kinds of mailers on taxpayers' expense. We send one a year. And that one points people to our offices and let them know the contact information so that we can serve them. And, you know, any given week, we're working 90 to 100 assistance cases. That's for veterans interfacing with the VA or perhaps working recognition, senior citizens who have a claim and some kind of rebuttal to a Medicare claim or Social Security. We work immigration cases. We work passports. We've helped intervene in terms of foreclosing on houses. So we put that first regardless of party. And then with regard to legislative work, is I listen carefully. I've got 750,000 people who I work for. I never lose sight of that. I treat everyone in Washington with dignity and respect. I treat John Boehner with dignity and respect. I treat Nancy Pelosi with dignity and respect. But I don't work for either of them. You know, I work for the people up here in upstate New York, and my record reflects that. The Washington Post, who keeps score on this, ranks me as the second most independent out of 244 Republicans. And that's because I look at a piece of legislation or an amendment, and I say, is this constitutional? And if it is it in the interests of my people? If the answer to is yes to both of that, then I vote for it, regardless of what party came forward with the idea. And if the answer is no, I vote no, regardless of which party brought it forward. So, you know, I think that that's really important, that in this day and age, what we need more than anything else is service-oriented leaders who bring people together. And, you know, I think the choice is going to be very clear in 2014, because my opponent's likely opponent, if he ends up being the one nominated, I mean, he's already criticized the bipartisan budget. He's already criticized No Labels, for which I'm a leader.
No Labels, that's the group which says we don't want to be seen as Republicans or Democrats. We are in the middle.
Well, basically, no, that's not exactly it.
Okay.
I mean, what it says is that, look, the No Labels portion is because you don't have to check your principles. What you're doing is focusing on service first. So if there's 20 different issues and
gotcha.
We disagree on 12, we ought to work on the 8 that we agree upon. And we're looking to bring functionality to the Congress. This is about 90 members of Congress. Evenly split between Republicans and Democrats. Predominance are in the House, but there's also about 10 senators in this group as well. We brought forward No Budget, No Pay that was enacted. We've had other initiatives. In fact, in the National Defense Authorization Act, we had essentially the language that myself and Senator Nelson had sponsored for veterans to merge the DOD and the VA to bring them together so that we'd have synchronicity. And that we'd have ultimately more effective health care coverage for our veterans at a more efficient price. Well, we got that language in the main in the National Defense Authorization Act. So that's, I think, another win for No Labels, Nelson being a Democratic senator from Florida, former astronaut. So, you know, I think that there's growing viability in this group, No Labels, that we're bringing efficacy and integrity to representation, functionality to the Congress. And I think you're going to hear a lot more from us in 2014. In fact, in the next couple months, I think you're going to hear about the the goals that we're trying to bring forward in America that will unite us, not divide us, but unite us.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the budget deal. The bone of contention seems to be around here. What I'm hearing is that the extended benefits, unemployment benefits, have been cut. And so that there are a lot of people who are dependent upon them who aren't going to get them now. What do you say about that?
Well, I think that they should be extended. And, you know, I've been vocal on that point. But let's also remember that the best thing that we can do for those unemployed is to change the underlying business environment so that they get employment. So I think what we need to do is put together a package that's pro-growth. I mean, ideally, if tax reform was ready, we could put together a compromise that has tax reform and the extension of unemployment benefits. But, you know, there are also some regulatory relief items that could be in that as well. So that the point would be to try to facilitate growth to expand opportunities and job opportunities. At the same time, for those that have not found work, that's what the safety net is there for. As you point out, the basic program is 26 weeks. And then beyond that, in moments of emergency, we have a federal program that expands the safety net. And, you know, my view is that, we are not at the point where we can say that that there's no need for the emergency program. I think you still have to have it. So I do think that we can put that together. But the thing to remember is that with regard to the budget agreement, there was no requirement for that to be in the budget agreement. But I do think that we should work together in the opening weeks and month of 2014 that we would get this done.
Is there a chance that it will get done?
I do think there's a chance. I hope that we can work together because we need the pro-growth policies. Again, I led a letter. I had six other Republicans come with me on this. It was seven of us. And I think that the sentiment is larger than that. And I think once you put together that with some pro-growth policies, I think that you can get a strong number to vote for this. So, and, you know, let me say something on the budget, because, look, I don't want to overstate this. I think this was a small agreement, but I do think it was very important that we reach one. You think when I move about the 1,000 village hamlets and towns in the 19th congressional district, I mean, families have a budget. Towns have budgets. County officials, counties have budgets. The state has a budget. We hadn't had a federal budget in 5 years. And what that does is that disrupts government operations when you see that we're constantly haggling over continuing resolutions every 60 to 90 days. It impacts the economy in terms of certainty in the business environment. So it was important that we reach a budget. And moreover, when you look at the substance, what was also important is that in terms of continuity of government, that we didn't have the threat of another government shutdown, number one. But number two is that sequester was impacting us adversely. It was impacting our national security. It was impacting our domestic priorities. And I've come on this show, Alan, and I've talked about, I think if we think differently and act differently and go through about an 8 to 10 year period, truly believe that we can enact national security establishment reform and be safer for less money.
You said,
but the sequester is not the way to do that.
But the budget agreement did make some modifications in the sequester.
It did. That's the point I'm trying to make here, is that even though the scope of the agreement was not large, it was important that we, number one, make an agreement that we provide some level of stability for the next 2 years in terms of a budget framework. And I think that will help economic growth, but also that we replace some of this sequester. So this is going to help, I think, our national security, positively impacting our troops as well. And then our domestic priorities. We had research going on, including in this area, medical research, important that we adequately fund the NIH. We helped move that in the right direction with this budget agreement. Education, such a huge issue. I hear it all the time. Folks very concerned about the Common Core, concerned about the onerous high-stakes testing, also concerned about resources. And I'm fighting for our teachers, our students, our parents, and part of that includes getting the resources necessary. This agreement helps on that score. Same for the social safety net. We had Head Start and other programs that were adversely impacted by the sequester. So even as imperfect as the budget agreement was, I thought it was important that we reach this agreement. And I hope it's a harbinger of what we'll see in 2014. I hope next time we're together, we can talk about the farm bill and the water bill, because I think we're just on the cusp of getting that enacted in 2014.
Chris Gibson, always such a joy and a pleasure to have you with us. And it's very good of you to come around and to be in the studio with us. And we always appreciate your visits. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. God bless. God bless all the listeners out there.